Good morning. Grace and peace to you. Thank you, Dawn, for the songs. I requested that last one. Nice you have song leaders that will listen to you, work with you. I mean, it really is. Both of them, and soon we'll have three that will do that. Mike, thank you for the prayer, and it's good to hear you pray again. And Rick, thanks for your words at the table. Grace began when it all began. We're going to talk about beginnings this morning and how beginnings are so important and so vital and so crucial to establish the foundations for whatever it is you're beginning. Whatever it is you're starting, the purposes and the goals and how everything is to function. We are going to talk about the creation this morning. This isn't really about creation versus evolution, and this isn't about the 24-hour days or whatever, but this is about God's purposes in creating. Maybe you never thought about that. He created for purposes, to do His will. You know, we think about organizations or what have you that start among people. They establish themselves for certain reasons. They start out as a for-profit, as a not-for-profit. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to make widgets? Are we going to make cars? Are we going to have a service for somebody as far as like psychological services or counseling services, or are we going to take care of troubled kids, or, you know, you get into an organization for reasons. And there's many purposes, and those need to be established and known so an organization knows what direction to go and what they're all about. Because if you lose those underpinnings and begin to slide away, which, as we're hearing and seeing and many of you expressing this morning with our country, getting away from the reasons it was established and how it was established, things just fall apart. And that's true for any organization. We're going to start in Isaiah 45. As we said, God had purposes in creating. You know, science likes to speculate about our beginnings here. But science has no way to know how or why, or really why this place began, even how. Because science is based upon being able to recreate something over and over again to establish their theory, their hypothesis, and then a law. Just a very simple one is water. We all know that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. You can do that experiment over and over and over again. Just take pure water and set it somewhere where the temperature is real cold and you can watch and it'll do it. Or water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and you can put the water in the pot or whatever, and it will do it over and over again. So you establish a scientific law. Water freezes at 32 degrees, and from there, you can do all kinds of things because you know that for sure. But science can't do that with the beginning of the universe. They have no way to recreate what happened. So all they can do is speculate, and that's called cosmology. So we have the Bible, the Word of God, that tells us why it began, how it began, and who did it. Of course, science won't accept that because that's one of their preconditions. They don't accept anything that's not material or natural. And that's where the big rub comes in with science. They just will not accept God. So anyway, those things being said, let's turn to Isaiah 45 and 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place. Some translation might say in vain. But formed it to be inhabited. I'm the Lord and there is none else. So when God set about to create the earth, he had a purpose in mind. He made it to be inhabited. And we ask the question, and of course the scripture will tell us, what inhabited by whom? Inhabited by humanity, by you and me. That was his purpose. That was the beginning. He didn't just say, oh, let's do something out here. He was doodling with stuff and says, oh, I'll make a heavens and an earth, and oh, maybe we'll put some animals on it and some people. No. He had everything in mind. He had purposes and goals when he created the earth. He made it to be inhabited. Many of you remember the DVD, and we have them back there, called The Privileged Planet. And we saw those several years back. Dawn, of course, using those and teaching us about a lot of these scientific principles, and how our planet has such narrow parameters for the support of life. If gravity was not strong enough, wouldn't work. If gravity was too light or too heavy, it wouldn't work. There's a very narrow parameter. How far the Earth is from the sun? Goes a little bit further, wouldn't work. If we were too close, we'd burn up. Where the moon is and how the moon goes around the Earth establishes the tides. The moon was too close to the Earth, wouldn't work. Too far away, wouldn't work. All these hundreds of parameters that are so finely tuned have such a narrow window, if you will, for life to exist and propagate on the earth. God established this planet. He built this planet to be inhabited by humanity. And that ought to give us encouragement. That's why he did it. That's why I say grace began then, the love of God began. He knew what he was going to do with humanity. He knew what was going to happen with his son. It was all purposeful to demonstrate his love and to share himself, to give the opportunity to a creature. Really, we are creatures. We are created in his image, but we are creatures. Give us the opportunity to have life eternal with him, to experience what it's like to live forever. That's what God was doing with this planet. And he'll not be deterred or moved from his purposes. No matter what happens on the earth, no matter what men may do, the armies they, you know, put on the field, or the weapons they create, or whatever, he will not be deterred. And that should give us heart and hope. With that being said, let's go to Genesis 1. And I'm just going to work my way through here. Try to connect with the purposes of God. And you know, this, as we've said before, and God will not allow it, of course, but, you know, for some people, if they are ever removed from the Bible and you don't have access to it or never get access to it, there are so many things in this book that are only in this book. You know that? They are only taught and explained in this book. And this is one of them, how we came to be. You'll not find it in any other book, any other philosophy, any other history, of any in any other civilizations or what have you. It's the only place. And that's why God sees that his book continues from generation to generation to generation, because these are the truths that all humanity needs to know. In the beginning, God. You know, we could preach all day on this verse. You want to do that? There was a beginning. There was a beginning. And again, we try to go back, and here was, as Don sang that second song for us about glorify your name, Father, the Word, and the Spirit. That's all there was. We don't even know what that was like. We can't fathom that. Their spirit. Were they living in some kind of atmosphere or space? We don't even know. It's all it was God. But now there was a beginning. Because God, in his infinite wisdom and love, says, I want to do this. And so there was a beginning. And God did it. In the beginning, God, for his purposes, by his power, to show his mercy, his love, his grace, his goodness, his beauty, all these kinds of things. I got them written down here somewhere. I'm kind of getting ahead. But he was a designer, the enabler, the giver of life. God was behind it all. And he did it because he wanted to do it. He wanted to establish an earth to be inhabited for his creatures. If you think about we human beings, we often think about, oh, we made something. You know, you make a pie. Fema does quilts. Some people, you know, do paintings. Businesses build cars or furniture. But there's something different about those kinds of things we do from what God did here. Because what we do, we use things around us to make things. Now, that's like what God did. He's given us that ability to do that. And Mike prayed in his prayer that he gives the medical community the ability to make new knees for people and install them. But God, the word created here means to bring into existence from nothing. From nothing. That's what the word there means, to create. We can't do that. We can't just cause something to appear in our hand. Boom. There's a nice diamond necklace for Shirley. Boom. Can't do that. We can't do that. Only God can do things like that. And that's what he did. So, and again, as we step back and try to look at this, the glory and the wonder of God, that he did this kind of thing, we should just fall on our face and say, amen, praise the Lord. I didn't even finish the first verse yet, did I? What time is it? Wow. Of course, I blame Don. He was up there chatting for a while, and we started late. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but God had to create a place to put the earth. Right? He created the space. That's the heavens here in verse 1. He had to have a place to put the earth. You know, we sometimes think God was in space. That's what I said earlier. But we don't know that. The space that we're in, God created, because it is all part of this whole time creation. Don't know if you ever thought about that. The earth was made first. It's the center stage of all that God was to do. Created the heavens and the earth. You know, the cosmological theories of science don't have the earth being created first, do they? Most of them now rely on this Big Bang that just shot everything out, and then things just gradually began to come together all at the same time. It's not the way it was. He made the earth first. We got to believe these things, all right? We got to stand on the truth. The earth was formless and void, darkness over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. I see here the foreshadowing of the fight between good and evil. Everything was dark. The earth was formless and void. It was really nothing there. He just, there's an earth. It's like his clay that he started with. You can see God creating. You see, he brought, boom, here's this earth. All right, what are we going to do with it? It's all in darkness. Well, the first thing we need is light. Let there be light. There it was. Wow. Light which brings life and warmth and helps us to see. Beautiful thoughts in the scriptures about light, aren't there? We don't have time to get into all that. You can do that. You can run that in your mind and do your studies. Light provides life and seeing. Darkness kills and blinds, doesn't it? You put plants or animals or even man in a place where there is no sun, they'll eventually die. Right? They will. The light was good to fulfill God's purposes. Day 2, Genesis 1:6. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let's separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which are below the expanse and the waters which are above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven. There was evening, there was morning, a second day. I take this to mean that he made the atmosphere around the earth. Because later on we're going to see another firmament made for the stars and the moon and the sun. But see, so he separates the waters here from the waters above. And we know this is no doubt the beginning, I think, of the water cycle. We put the clouds up in the sky and then atmosphere. Why? Because what he was going to do needed water. He has a purpose. He is making this planet to be inhabited, and he knows how he's going to do it. And so we need water. We're going to need rain. And so this is what he does. If you follow this theme through, and you can go back and read this, it's just magnificent the way God did this. Toy boat, Mike. So he's preparing. He's got an atmosphere. He's got water above. He's got water below. Now let's see what he does. On day 3, verse 9. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. All right, we're moving in a direction. We need some dry land here. Why? Because the people I'm going to create are going to be walking. They're not going to be amphibians. All right, they're not going to be fish. They need dry land to walk on. We got a lot of dry land we're going to use for the people and for the animals as well. Let's hop over to Job 38. We're going to be in Job a couple times here this morning. This is one of Shirley's favorite parts of Scripture, where the Lord comes down, talks to Job after his complaints and all, and of course, you know, Jobed is right, and God answers him. Of course, he reminds Job who he is, but it was Job's friends that were in the wrong. Nevertheless, Job 38 and verse 8, he's speaking to Job. He says, who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment, we just talked about the atmosphere, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt indoors. You know, that's just figurative speech. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. That's what he did right here. That's what we're talking about in Genesis 1, 9, and 10. He caused a dry land to appear, and he set boundaries for the sea and said, this is as far as you're going to come. You will not overflow the land. Now, we know God did that in Noah's day with the flood, with the rain, but you see, that's when he caused all this rain above to come down and totally cover the earth. Anyway, getting off a little bit there. So again, this was good to fulfill God's purposes. You see that? When it says here it was good, you know, that means, yeah, it was good. And as far as we would say, well, that slice of apple pie was good. Or, you know, you helped that little old lady across the street. That was a good thing. But I think the main reason he says here it was good means it was good to fulfill his purposes. It was going to do what he wanted it to do. It was good. It was a good thing. Verse 11. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. So we have the dry land appears, and the next thing God does, boom, he puts vegetation on it. What's that for? For its own thing? Just to be there? No, it's to support animal and human life, isn't it? To maintain the planet. And if you know anything, we're going to read a little thing about plants here in a minute, but you know how, what do plants do? What's that?
Oxygen.
That's right, they create oxygen, don't they, from the carbon dioxide. He's made it, making the planet to be inhabited. It's just an amazing thing if you look at it this way. That's what he's doing. It's the mind of God. Again, he just spoke, and you know, vegetation grows and has the seed in it. You know, we've talked about that before. All the trees and the vegetables, the tomatoes and what have you, the beans, they all have the seed. You plant it, and that's what you get. The different varieties, the colors, the shapes, different growing seasons, different food values. Shirley was talking about this. We were talking together, but she really brought it up. But it was a good thing. Flowers. Was there a need for flowers? Evidently, God said there was, you know. And I did some Googling. Did you know there are 400,000 different species of flowers on the earth? Do we need 400,000 species? Evidently, God thought so, in all different colors, and they bloom at different times of the year and for different lengths of time. You know, to me, this shows the beauty of God, and it also shows they were needed. You know, if you really slow down, as they say, slow down, smell the roses. Flowers really give you peace. Did you ever notice that? Just being among in a flower garden, or have your own flowers there in a corner and tend to them. And smell them, watch, look at them. They're very peace-bringing. Trees, 60,000 plus species of trees on the earth. 60,000. Wow. Wonder how much fun God had designing all these things. Shirley was talking about this. Oh, we'll make this flower this way. No, this one will be this way. And no, this one will have wee little blossoms. This will be a huge blossoms. And the trees here in what, 2-3 weeks around this area, we're going to have a show by God, right? The leaves are all going to change. How many different colors are we going to see? Did we need all those colors? Is he not just telling us, I love you? Look at this beauty. Look what I'm giving you. Isn't that amazing? Shrubbery. 99 types of shrubbery. Fruit. I was surprised at this one. There's only 52 basic different kinds of fruit. Now, there's probably a lot of subspecies. But now we understand why Mom said, eat your vegetables. 20,000 plus species of vegetables. You got to find a couple there you can eat, you know, that you would like. There's 20,000 different kinds. Little thought here. I know we're going to go a little bit over, but this little thing from ICR, Institute for Creation Research on Plants. You know, when you think about just a little thought here on evolution, you sometimes think about animal evolution all the time. That's what you think about, and that they would progress. And of course, we know that that's not true, but animals come to mind. Here's the thing on plants, that they have what scientists call continuous environmental tracking. And if you ever thought about what plants have, you know, we humans, and of course, animal, we have the eye, the heart, the circulatory system, and all these things. The plants are given photoreceptors and temperature sensing mechanisms to know when to bloom, when to proliferate, when to bring on the seed, when to start to reproduce. Those things are built into plants. The photoreceptors of a plant, you know, if you have a plant, especially in the house, if you put it in a window, it'll start to grow toward the light. God put that in the plant, that's the way it will grow. How do plants know to grow upright? You know, most plants, they'll just grow straight up. They have special gravity-sensing carbohydrate granules that orient themselves in cells according to the Earth's gravitational field. Isn't that something? And I'll say this thing about evolution. Huh? Really? Really, that just happened? And then there's things here about, he says, plants cannot walk over to a stream to take a drink. No, they can't. So they got special built-in things, stomata, to open up when there's less moisture, to bring the moisture in through the leaves. And when they sense that there's not enough moisture, the roots will start to grow more and spread out to reach the moisture. That's just plants. Anyway, day 4, verse 14. Then God saw that there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good, evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. So we have the sun, the moon, and the stars created, and that expanse out there where we got all those billions, right, Don, galaxies?
Yeah. 2 trillion.
Galaxies, not stars, out there. Can't even wrap your head around it, as we say. Again, for our purpose, the sun, of course, we know the purpose is for the sun. Here establishes the day, but we also need that for life. The moon and the stars, again, the moon especially for the seas, the tides, and so forth. And go way back. In fact, I know that even today, ships at sea, they still check star navigation. They really do. Even though, you know, you got the satellites now, you got the GPS and all that stuff, they still checking the stars. And of course, years ago, that's all travelers had, right? That's the only way Columbus got here, was by the stars, checking his course, and others going back and forth. He made the earth to be inhabited. All these things, the fruits and vegetables for us and the animals, the stars, the sun, he made it to be inhabited. Day 5, verse 20. God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse in the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind, every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening and the morning, the fifth day. Sea creatures, great sea monsters. You know, we can talk about God mentions Leviathan to Job. We still don't know what that was. You know, whales, dolphins, porpoises, and so forth. A lot of weird sea creatures. That's why a lot of people don't like to go in the sea, you know. Blowfish, eels, the lionfish, jellyfish, all, you know, all of this. But a lot of beautiful fish. If you look on those coral reefs, you see those pictures. Birds. Don probably knows this. There's 9,000 to 10,000 species of birds on the planet. 9,000 to 10,000. From the condors to the hummingbirds, you know? Oh, just amazing. And again, God said, let's do a little bit here. We'll take this bird. We're going to make him all black with a little red on his wings. And this is going to be blue with a white belly. And this one's going to be purple and with a red head. And this is going to be, you know, we'll make the parrot. He's just going to have all kind of colors all over him. Is that incredible or what? It's for us. It's for our enjoyment. It's for to know that God is there. It's just, in the beginning, God. He made it for us. He made the earth to be inhabited. He even made, Job 39, he made some birds that can't fly. Right? Job 39:13, the ostrich. The ostrich's wings flap joyously with the pinion and plumage of love. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of an ostrich. They are the strangest looking thing. Big. She abandons her eggs to the earth and warms them in the dust, and she forgets that a foot may crush them or the wild beast may trample them. She treats her young cruelly as if they were not hers. Their labor be in vain, she is unconcerned. Look at the next verse. Because God has made her forget wisdom and has not given her a share of understanding. Why did he do that? I don't know. Maybe it's a lesson to us that some of us will be hard-headed like that. We just won't listen to him. Jesus lays her eggs in the dust and leaves them. Gone. But when she lifts herself on high or to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider. An ostrich can run pretty fast. I didn't Google that to see how many miles an hour an ostrich can run, but they can run quite quickly. From the beautiful to the plain, God made them all. Day 6, verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. He's got it all prepared. He's got the water, the dry land, the vegetation, the birds, the sea, the animals, or the fish. And now we have the animals coming out on the dry ground. Ox, horse, cow, dog, pig, cat, lion. How many of you want to name lion, otter, chipmunk, skunk, opossum? What about the skunk? You know, put that nice, beautiful white stripe down this. Is that a racing stripe on the skunk, or is it telling you to run away? You know? The opossum, what a strange animal. Wow. We could talk for a long time. But the frogs, the lizards, and the turtles, you know, the ones we really love. And all those creeping things, the spiders, Rick, and the scorpions, and grasshoppers, fleas, flies, butterflies. We like butterflies. We don't like beetles so well. They're all there, serve a purpose. To sustain the earth, to sustain man. And how much over the years mankind has needed the animals. You know, especially, you know, think of the ox, the horse, for transportation, for pulling the plows. And of course, later on for food, the sheep for wool. You know, all, why? Made it to be inhabited by man. That's the purpose. That's where he's going. And then finally, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He made it to be inhabited, and he gave it to mankind to rule over, all of it. That doesn't mean we should trash it, or treat it, you know, as if it, well, you know, it's just, we can just do whatever we want to with it. We should be like God, to tend it as good stewards, but we are to rule over it, all of it, and all the other creatures that he made. They're there for our benefit. But again, we humans, men and women, were the only ones made in the image of God. We are God's children. We are His. How privileged is that? What a great blessing, yet what a great responsibility. We have our differences, don't we? In our physical appearances, we don't have to go through all that. Personalities, skills, emotions. You know, we're all human, but every one of us is different. Just like a lot of his creation, right? They're all birds, but wow, they're different. They're all mammals, but wow, they're different. We're all human, but we are different. Yet all made in the image of God. Let's go to Romans 8, which we'll close out there. Thank you for your patience. You know the story, when we sinned, the earth was cursed. Things got out of hand. That's why a lot of things are like they are today. things that don't always work properly. But there is coming a time when God is going to restore. He's going to restore. Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. This is going to be at the end. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You see, the creation isn't really working 100% the way God made it. You know, we have what? We have storms now that devastate us and other things that happen. We have all of the disabilities and illnesses and disease, both in man and animals, not the way it was supposed to be, all because of sin. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And that's what we anticipate. We live in a body that ages, develops problems, need knee replacements, or we fall down and hurt our shoulder and all these things. People die. But we anticipate that will all be taken care of in the future. A new heavens and a new earth. That's what Peter writes about. Can you imagine what it will be? If in fact, you know, even today, we still see all this beauty and wonder and the power of God in creation. You know, it's still there. It's most of it is still there. It's again, there's problems. If all that is still shining through, what must that new heavens and new earth look like? Amen. What will it be like? We anticipate that someday, and I pray that you are on that journey. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.